You're listening to That Park Life podcast.
From attraction deep dives
to resort rundowns
to cast member chats, they're here to help you live that park life.
Here they are now,
Beth and Greg.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to That Park Life podcast. We're now officially into the holiday season, I guess, because at the time this releases, Halloween has passed. It is in the rearview mirror. And I'm already wearing some Christmas clothes to work.
Our Halloween intro last week was very spooky. Today was not as spooky. Back I was to excited normal. To tell Doug about it when we got done, because I was like, remember how you used to move songs sometimes to do that? That's what Greg did our intro. I loved it. Welcome, everyone, to a fun episode. I feel like my voice is like, does my voice sound weird to you?
It does sound a little weird.
Okay, but I'm like, I'm trying here, you know. Shared on the Pat chat, got some medical things going on. Also sick on top of that, but we're on the mend, so no worries there. Yeah. Greg, you had a big week.
Had a big week at work, and yeah. Excited to chat with our guest today. That's coming up. But I thought I'd drop a little news nug in real quick, if I may.
Let's do it. News
nuggets. Oops, I cut off the garsh.
A
I don't know
garsh.
Why.
I can still do that.
Disney did announce that the Festival of the Arts are returning. I mean, we assumed it was going to return, right? But we have some dates. It is January 12th through February 19th. It is the shortest, but the most colorful of festivals.
I wonder why they're cutting it short. Oh, you're just saying it's usually general, it's short.
It's okay. Usually short, yeah, because there's that buffer time in between that and when Flogar, by the way, no one calls it that, Flower and Garden starts usually the first week of March, so they only have like that, you know, week basically turnaround time. Although it's 2024, shirt. Which means it's a leap year.
Oh, yeah.
So they have one extra day to prep for Flower and Garden.
There you go. I saw some other account recently, it was not that long ago, but they referred to it as farts, and I was like, excuse me, like, no. Doug looked at me because we both saw it, and he went, and I was like, I want to say it was food blog, Disney food blog, and I was like, they need to back it up, because we've been talking about farts for a very long time, and no one else was referring to it as that, I feel like, until recently. So I was very offended by that, but
which means
it is what it is. Do you have your pen sitting there?
I was just gonna say,
show me your pen. I need to see it.
I was gonna do it, but I can't. I don't know where it went. Normally, this is the time of the episode where every time we talk about the fart pin that we sell in the shop. I don't know where it went. Oh, here it is.
I need to get one of those. Do you have any more of those?
Oh yeah, the fully stocked. If you're interested in our Festival of the Arts, aka farts pin, it's a nice like little thing you can put on your bag. It's a little understated for farts.
It is.
It's available. I'll leave a link in our description.
People will be like, do you have a pin that says fart? And then you'll be like, it's the Festival of the Arts.
Yeah,
get
like,
it together,
what do you mean?
Everyone.
Like, oh, I didn't even realize. And also a shirt to go with it. Same logo, just on a shirt. If you want to really be loud with your fandom of farts.
Christy loves to wear her fart shirt in public, because she likes for people to be like, what is going on? Why does that girl have a fart shirt on? And she's like, suck it. So I love it too. Also, Christy, I've been I'm just gonna talk to you today. I've been seeing more people with my Bucky shirt, and it made me really excited. A friend of ours up the street had one on yesterday, and she was walking the dog down the street, and I was like, I have that shirt and I love it. Because my neighbor saw that we had it, and then she ordered some for her family, and so it just made me laugh. She said there's one that's like where it has a DJ on it, and that's what she got for her husband, and I was like, I need the one with the DJ on it. Like, where was that one? I don't remember where she got it from, but I was like, yeah, dude, I'm like a new I want to see what Bucky's is coming out with for Christmas. I haven't looked to see if they have Christmas stuff out yet, but
look at you waiting for a merch drop.
I'm waiting for a merch from Bucky's. We're getting one here. It's just not till like, I think 2025 is when they're finishing it. Like not in Greenville, but it's like in Anderson. So it'll be like probably 30 minutes away from us.
If you're unfamiliar, it's a gas station, everybody. But people take it very seriously.
But it's it's basically it's the gas station version, modernized gas station version of Cracker Barrel is basically what it is, if you think about it. But I don't even know how to explain the food offerings, because it's like it has amazing food offerings. I don't know. It's like its own thing, but it's incredible.
Those beaver nuggets. Back to farts, if I may.
Yeah.
They did announce are returning the Disney on Broadway concert series. Of course, this is all in Epcot. Live music at the World Showcase Plaza. So separate from the concert series, they also have that stage set up every year. Mm-hmm. They'll still be doing the artist meet and greets and their food studios. They call them food studios, but of course we all know they're food booths.
Booths. Yeah. They're trying to fancy it up. They're like, oh, it's a studio. Yeah. Like, oh, like a studio apartment in New York where it's like the smallest thing you've ever been in. It's a closet. Basically, same thing.
Same thing. All right, everyone. I am here with someone, but then we're also here without someone. Beth had to step away. She's healing. She's trying to get better. And she lost her voice. And it turns out you can't really do much of a podcast if you don't have a strong voice. So sorry, everyone. You're stuck with just me. And that's the exact same thing I said to our guest when he came into this virtual room. But here he is, Mr. James. Hello. You may know him as Hot Dogs at Disney, everybody.
Hi, Greg. It's awesome to be here with you again. Yeah, I think this is my third visit to the virtual studio, so happy to be back.
Nice. We were just talking, everyone, right before we hit record, about your thoughts about whether or not you'd ever cross like a finish line of some kind as to taking photos of Hot Dogs at Disney, because it's a very niche account, right? I know we talked about this the last time you're on, but like I think years have gone by since you were on, and you're still doing it, right? You're still out there cranking your Hot Dogs at Disney pics. You've got Hot Dogs on the People Mover. And I'm sure there are other hot dog accounts that are not coming to my mind as I'm sitting here saying this.
Yeah, it's funny. As I started it just kind of to make my friends laugh and, you know, my family laughed. You know, I got an annual pass 1 year and I was like, well, I've got this pass. I should document it. And I just started taking photos of hot dogs for some reason. I'm like, well, you know, I'll do this, but I'll sort of do it my way. So it'll be photos of me on rides with a hot dog, and that was funny to me, and I had no goals in mind. I just started doing it, and just sort of caught on, and you know, I guess, I don't know. I mean, it fills some kind of void, you know, of photo. I mean, there's thousands of Disney accounts out there, in all sort, you know, whether it's YouTube or podcasts or Instagram or TikTok or whatever it is. But yeah, I've sort of found my small corner of the internet to live in, and it's been awesome. Yeah, everyone, it's great. It's because it's a small account and it's very super specific, but the people who like it seem to really like it. So
That's really hope nice. This isn't too forward, but yes, there are thousands of Disney accounts on there, but you've got the best buns. Perfect. You've gotten a little bit more elaborate with your displays, mm-hmm. two of these hot dogs, because in the beginning, I'm not gonna say they were simple, but you know, I feel like you can kind of like you were sneaking in one or two hot dogs, but now it's like multiple hot dogs, multiple buns on the wall of like the tombstone things at the Haunted Mansion recently. I think I saw, like, it's getting more like bigger and bigger, it seems.
Yeah, and you know what, that's really just because of I just find it fun. Still, you know, it's an account like this isn't about, you know, being popular or anything like that. I do it because it just makes me laugh still. And it's like, what can I get away with today? Can I bring in 20 hot dogs and arrange them in a pyramid, you know, somewhere in the park? Or, you know, can I, last year I snuck a pumpkin into the park to take a photo of it with a hot dog on the People Mover. Just to, you know, can I do it just to do it? And so it's more, you know, finding ways to entertain myself. But just super grateful that other people are entertained as well.
Yeah, I mean, you're entertaining yourself, but we all benefit from it. And just everyone, if you're only looking at the photos, make sure you're also looking at the captions, because there's usually a pun in the caption that you should not miss. But we have you here today because we'd like to talk to locals of Disney World, because, you know, people are traveling here. The common guest is someone who's traveling here. But I think the perspective of someone who lives here is unique, because you can go anywhere, but you also choose to go to Disney and you do it frequently. And I bet there's still some things that you tend to do a lot, even though you're there semi-frequently. So that's what we like to get out of these conversations. So as a Disney local, we're interested in what you still consider to be must-dos around the park. So in no particular order or anything, what's one must-do in Disney World that comes to mind for you?
A must-do for me is, and this is speaking as someone who, you know, I'm the age I am. I'm not a little kid anymore, and all that. So my priorities have shifted a little bit. Yeah. I'm all about what keeps me a fan is the atmosphere at Disney, sort of the vibe and everything. So when I go as a local, I go over there just to sort of chill out, enjoy the experience, enjoy some of the magic and sort of relax a little bit. I'm not, you know, my go days are kind of, you know, I'll do that sometimes, for sure. You know, like, you know, just hit up every ride I can, from, open to close. But, most of the time, I am going to, for food or to just kind of sit and relax. One thing too, as a local, and I have the benefit of my day job, I work from home. So I can go over to the parks with a laptop and just kind of hang out in a lounge or a lobby or somewhere and work. But I'm in like the greatest office, you know, in Orlando or, you know, some might say the country or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's so I guess the number one thing that keeps him coming back is I would say the resorts. Because
okay.
something that I've really come to appreciate, again, the older I get, is being able to check out, you know, the resorts and their, you know, just their seating areas, their restaurants, quick serve, you know, different treats they have, different types of food, all that kind of stuff. I find that is a thing that keeps me coming back over and over and over again, is just, you know, and I, for all the restaurants and food I've tried at the different resorts, it's, you know, there's still a ton of stuff on my list because the menus get revamped quite often. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll get new head chefs or executive chefs or whatever. And they're constantly refreshing and updating all those menus. So there's always a reason to go back. But that's something, you know, maybe when I didn't live in Orlando and I was coming down to the parks, I was just solely focused on the rides and getting the most out of my day as possible. Where as a local, you know, you have the luxury of being able to slow down.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can sit and read a book. In a cozy corner of, say, the Wilderness Lodge or the Yacht Club or any of the resorts that are sort of more, the non-monorail loop resorts that are a little bit more peaceful.
Yeah.
And all that. So it's, yeah, absolutely. The resorts are kind of my go-to. And the places, I go to those more than I go to the parks.
Interesting. Okay. I'm glad you brought up the idea of kind of relaxing a little bit and escaping. And I think that's something that can be applied to anyone. I don't think that you need to be a local to be able to take a moment out and relax and kind of escape for a moment. Because same thing, coming down here before being a local, it was always like we got to jam everything in. But I have found, even when we travel to, let's say, Disneyland as an example, when I'm still like in vacation mode, I think the more often we kind of slow down and are able to absorb things, the better time we're having. And maybe that's not the case for everybody, but would strongly recommend trying it out, picking a day of your trip where you go and absorb, pull up, you know, somewhere at a resort and absorb the atmosphere there, hang out in a small nook and cranny of Wilderness Lodge. And whether it's read a book or, I don't know, just sit there and fall asleep sitting up in a chair like an old person, then fine, right? I feel like that's a cool thing. The beach and the Yacht Club is nice too. Are there any other resorts that you would like? If let's say I was like, hey, I know nothing about Disney, James, where's a resort that I could hang out that I could get to easily that you would recommend other than Wilderness or Yacht Club?
You know, I think the Boardwalk area is lovely. Mm-hmm. You know, the Yacht Club is in the Boardwalk area, but there's the Boardwalk Resort. They've got nice lounges over there. And the whole Boardwalk area itself just has a good amount of seating. So you can get snacks on the boardwalk, sit and have a drink, you know, whether it's you want a beer or a soda or an ice cream or whatever your treat is. I really love it over there. I love the Polynesian a lot. Mm. You know, the Polynesian, the lobby is chaotic. And it's especially during check-in or food times and all that stuff. But there's the beach at the front part of the Polynesian that is just incredibly cool. There, you know, anyone can go there as long as you're at the resort. And you can go and sit and, you know, chill out, watch the sunset or watch some fireworks, just sit and watch the boats go by. I find, you know, if you're up for something a little different, I've got two things I like to do. Is I love renting a boat from one of the resorts.
Okay.
And so it's, again, it's sitting and relaxing, but it's sort of mobile. So it's like an activity at the same time as you can, you're just kind of chilling out, which I think is a lot of fun. So I definitely recommend doing the boat rentals.
What size boat are you talking about? Like the one that fits like 8-ish people? Like those, are they called pontoons? I don't know boat lingo. Okay.
I don't either, but I know it's a pontoon.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so the pontoon boats, because they, I don't know, maybe they go 5 to 10 miles an hour or something like that. And you don't need any boating experience or license or anything like that. You just get on it and you kind of float around and enjoy some scenery and some nature and all that. It's a nice kind of alternate thing to do at Disney. I think
I was going to ask, probably the Bay Lake Seven Seas Lagoon area for that.
Yeah, that's the only area I've done it, but it allows you to go into both, like you said, the Seven Seas Lagoon and Bay Lake. Bay Lake's a lot more calm and relaxing, because if you go into Seven Seas Lagoon, you're dodging the ferry boat and whatnot. But just a really cool experience. If you are local, or even if you're not, taking the time to do something a bit different and not just, you know, standing in line for rides or all that all day long. I get asked a lot, so what do you do at Disney? I do a lot of sitting. I sit down a lot, Greg. And that's kind of my happy place, is just getting a cup of coffee and just sitting and just being looking around and, you know, I appreciating the architecture or appreciating the details and all that. And still doesn't matter how many times I go to Magic Kingdom, which I seem to end up at more often than the other resort or other parks. There's still details that I notice every single time. And it's constantly rewarding. So it's I guess it depends on the type of person you are. If you want excitement and thrills and all that, or it's got all that. But if you want a slower pace and everything too, that's there for you. It's funny. I could see that some people don't think of Disney as a place to go. At least the parks, as a place to just go and relax. Because it can be pretty stressful and be pretty hectic with the crowds. But I find it relaxing, because I go there just to hang out and not to, go all out.
Be a part of the chaos, basically. I'm with you. I mean, that's kind of a luxury basically afforded by being a local. But I'll say it again, everyone. I really think you should try it out, because it's fun to just relax and kind of like let it do its thing and just kind of like be a participant and just kind of hang out and see what presents itself. If nothing else, you can people watch everybody. And that's theater of the living is what I've heard that before. And that's now what I call it. And it's that in and of itself is a full-time activity.
Yeah, I'm sure we've both collected a bunch of stories over the years in terms of the things, conversations we've overheard and things we've seen.
And I'm always picking sides when I hear people argue, too, which is nice.
Yeah.
All right, so visiting your park is a big, I'm recapping everyone in case you missed it, a big must-do for James as a Disney local is to visit the resorts specifically and try out either some activities there or just relax and absorb the theming, the atmosphere, the vibe. And just chill for a bit. What about like restaurants and stuff? So do you typically eat at, like, do you typically find yourself repeating certain restaurants at Disney? Like, no matter how many times you go, you just love eating there, as someone who maybe has access to go more frequently.
Yeah, it's almost, we're lucky in Orlando and sort of the Central Florida area, which includes Winter Park and some other smaller towns, that we have a lot of good dining right now. I think over the last 10 years, the local food scene has gotten really interesting. And, we've got some pretty high-end places or, interesting places. So there's a lot of variety in Orlando as it is. But we're lucky also with Disney because a lot of great restaurants are there. Mm-hmm. And so I do have my favorites. So I have Flying Fish is a place on the boardwalk that I go to quite often. Okay. That not everyone goes to. Granted, it's expensive. I guess it would probably rank, you know, it's not Victoria and Albert's expensive, whatever that's going for these days. But it's, you know, it's the $40 to $50 entree kind of a place.
Gotcha.
But for special occasions, that's awesome. So I have that. I mean, I go there at least once a year, if not twice a year, for a special occasion.
Okay.
So that's a repeat place I go to. Something I've been trying to do, you know, I have other local, other Disney favorites like Geyser Point,
over at the Wilderness.
Yeah. Which is just great and, you know, relaxing and, good food as well. You know, I like Narcoossee's. I haven't been back since they reopened it, recently, but, definitely looking forward to getting back there. I go to Raglan Road pretty often. Over at Disney Springs. That's a favorite of mine. And I also like Frontera, the Mexican restaurant there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, really good. And then Epcot, Spice Road Table, which is in the right by the Morocco Pavilion. I think it's part of the Morocco. Another spot that people don't often think to go to, but it is a place that, you know, I would say I have about a 30-minute drive to get to the parking lot at Epcot, and it doesn't sound like much, but that's on I-4. For those who don't know, 30 minutes on I-4 is you know, like 90 minutes on a empty road or a good road. So, but Spice Road Table is a place I will specifically go to because I like it that much. I kind of treat my favorite Disney places like a local restaurant or something like that. I have been making more of an effort lately to do quick serve that I haven't done.
Okay.
And you might be shocked by this. I didn't do Cosmic Rays for the first time until last year.
What? Get out of here.
I know. So after however many years of going to, decades of going to Disney, had never been there. And Columbia Harbor House had never been there.
Really?
And Pecos Bill, places like that. So really trying to make an effort to not challenge myself, but just to be better informed about Disney Quick Serve and all that. So, you know, being local, you have the luxury of going to the sit-down restaurants and then going home right away, and that's kind of your only activity for the day is to go out for a nice dinner and then go home.
Yeah.
And you're not staying at a hotel or trying to fit it in to a park day. So I sort of have a different perspective on the food stuff sometimes. So I'm trying to be more knowledgeable about what people are eating every day in the parks, just because I do get people asking for advice on things and, you know, have you tried this? Have you tried this? And I just feel out of the loop.
Yeah.
So
well, trying to get so more. Much.
Yeah. Seriously. Making more of an effort. And I have found stuff that I've been really surprised by, like Pecos Bill. Like might not think of a Magic Kingdom quick serve Mexican food as being fantastic or, you know, worth even bringing up on a podcast, but it's definitely a go-to for me. So that's been a new kind of recent favorite. And I don't know if you had, you know, are there, you know, think big picture, think a guy who only just did Cosmic Rays, do you have any other quick serve recommendations or things that, like, I'm missing out on that you would recommend me to check out?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I will say not all quick service locations are created equal, because I would never really, I always talk about Cosmic Rays, right? That's, to me, that's more of like a nostalgic thing. I do enjoy the food, but like, I'm not going to tell you what's the best meal I'll ever have. It's more about the experience. Big fan of Sunny Eclipse, right? But there have been some menu updates at other parks that I think are home runs. I mean, well, over at Animal Kingdom, Satouli Canteen to me has always been good. That's like its own type of quick service. It's not a burger and fries place. You either get a salad or some type of noodles and stuff. You add in either chicken, shrimp, or beef, and ooh, that herb dressing that they have is delicious. But it's a totally different thing. So I'll always recommend that as a go for me as a go-to quick service place. I do also like the menu over at Connections in Epcot, which is still relatively new, but their salad with the chicken on it is good. It's just really delicious. And over at Hollywood Studios, over at ABC Commissary, they also recently had a renaissance with their menu, and there's like a couple of items on their quote healthier menu that are delicious. There's a shrimp salad in there. There's a shrimp tacos menu item, which I think is really good too. So I always like to recommend those because those are a little bit different, and those are, I'm just kind of giving you one dish at each place, but you'll be able to find, in my opinion, a different type of maybe food than you're thinking is normally available at a theme park, you know, quick service restaurant, because typically I think people still think it's going to be a burger, it's going to be fries, it's going to be a hot dog, no offense. But it can be. There are places, of course, that sell that. Most quick service places have that type of option. But there are so many that just have more than that. I mean, every time we go to the land in Epcot at Sunshine Season, I usually get their sweet and sour chicken or like their Mongolian beef, or my wife will get like the roasted chicken with like the mashed potatoes and green beans and stuff, or even the salmon. And like, that's like a relatively healthy meal, actually. So you can still fill yourself up and not have to worry about eating deep fried food all the time.
Yeah, I'm glad you said ABC Commissary, because that's one that I've heard good things about as well. So I'll put that on my list of things to do. I agree about Satouli Canteen. That's always great. Like, you know, no bad meals there. Interesting, too. Interesting, but not like alienating for people who might be picky eaters or, you know, not used to sort of more interesting flavors. Going back to the local theme, I think about the things that get me over to Disney despite having options on my side of town. So I'm in the downtown Orlando area.
Okay.
Where there's lots to pick and choose from. But, you know, I think about a restaurant like the Brown Derby at Hollywood Studios. That gets me in the car and makes me, you know, head down the interstate on a Tuesday night to go to dinner. Because I like the Brown Derby so much. I think
the you got the Cobb salad there?
Yeah,
their world famous Cobb salad.
Yeah. And good hack there. They've got a chicken noodle soup on the kids menu at Brown Derby that is like incredibly good. And so definitely check out that chicken noodle soup. But and then something like I'm also a big fan too, you know, speaking of quick serve, I don't always want a gigantic meal when I'm over at Disney. I don't want to be weighed down, especially in the warmer months, which, let's say, you know, 8 months out of the year at least is pretty darn hot here. I don't want a giant, you know, belly full of food if I'm walking around in the heat. So I do like the festivals are great for that because you can have a lot of smaller bites. But something like Tiffin's. Tiffin's, not their main dining room at Animal Kingdom, but the Nomad Lounge, which is attached to it, has a lot of great light bites. So you can go there and kind of recharge, get a cold drink and some snacks, and then sort of go on your day without, you know, having had a gigantic burger and fries and all that. A little bit healthier and smaller portions, too, which is sort of, you know, how I like to do the parks, where I'll have lots, you know, even not on a festival day like at Epcot, lots of smaller meals rather than like a giant breakfast, giant lunch, giant dinner, or, you know, something like that. So I think it's easier to conquer a park day if you eat kind of more frequently but smaller.
I mean, I'm okay with eating more frequently. I'm not gonna argue on that. I say eat all you want. I mean, you know, you might not be on vacation, but most people are. So calories don't count when you're on vacation.
Nope.
What's an attraction or two that stands out to you? So you're here frequently. You possibly even have people visiting and you're like, oh, let's go to a park together. What are some rides you still get excited to do, even though you've probably done them a bunch of times?
There's a handful that I will always, always do. You know, even if it's a busy day and we're talking a 60-minute, 90-minute wait.
Okay.
I would, you know, this is seasonal since Halloween is, it's tomorrow actually, on the day that we're recording. Haunted Mansion is one that I always, always do.
Okay.
I never get tired of Haunted Mansion, the atmosphere, the ride system, all of that. I will always do Haunted Mansion no matter what. The People Mover, obviously running an account.
Of course, yeah.
Running an account called Hot Dogs on the People Mover. you know, it legitimately is a favorite, though. I just like, I don't know, it's there's something about it that is, it's unlike anything else at Disney. Like, it's sort of like, it's a chance to relax and, like, put your feet up for a second. You can cool off from the heat, but I don't know, it's like, it's kind of a relic of, like, tomorrow of the 1970s or the 1950s or whatever, but it's still kind of retro cool and all that, and never a long line for the People Mover. And I don't know, just something about it just sparks joy in my heart. Kind of one of those Disney things you might not be able to explain.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, I was assuming you would say the People Mover, but and I'm right there with you. We're always doing that.
And you know, I'm not a big roller coaster person, but I do like spinny rides. So something about the teacups, and the teacups is a very short ride. The line isn't a lot of fun sometimes because it's super cramped and narrow. But like, you know, I get on, it doesn't matter what kind of day I've had, if I get on the teacups and just spin as fast as I can, the day is instantly good. So it's like a
spin your troubles away over it's at like the teacups.
A cleansing of the soul or something like that, a spiritual reawakening on the teacups. But there's something just something about that ride that and it, you know, it's, you could find that at any, you know, most any like state fair or, you know, carnival or something like that, a version of the teacups. But the music and being in the teacup and all that is just a very happy experience for me.
So young Greg would agree with you, but this age Greg would yak if I was in the teacup spinning. I can't do it anymore, but I'm glad to hear in your advanced age that you're still able to enjoy it.
I guess more on the thrilly side, though, you know, I do like Dinosaur a lot. A lot of people don't, you know, find it a little bit too jostly and a little chaotic and all that, but I start giggling on that ride for some reason. You know, you think, again, going back to the, you know, something about Disney brings out a feeling of pure joy that's almost primal in a way. And when it's at its absolute best, Disney sort of like, you know, that's the magic, is when you're on a ride and it just brings out emotions that, you know, you don't get in regular life or the real world or whatever. And Dinosaur is that ride for me for some reason. I just get giddy on it, and it's hard to explain. I'm also a big fan of technology. Like, I'm fascinated by technology, so I like anything with any of the screen based motion simulator rides.
Okay.
Are ones that I always gravitate to and will always be like, no, I need to see that again, I need to go on it again. And so something like Flight of Passage, Soarin', you know, attractions like that, Star Tours, Smuggler's Run at Galaxy's Edge. I like stuff like that for the ride, you know, the experience itself, like the actual story and all that. But I'm always just like kind of marveling at the technical feat, like the, you know, the mechanics of it and all that. So something about like, I'm trying to figure it out, or like, you know, every time I ride Flight of Passage, I'm looking over the little the little edge of the ride system to look down at the other cars. And so there's something about, you know, there's the rides that I go back to every time for emotional reasons, and they just make me happy. And some that I'm just like, wow, this is really cool. I just want to, like, you know, I'm just fascinated by the mechanics of it and how it actually operates and all that. So kind of two answers.
I've had the distinct pleasure of going backstage at some of those attractions. I mean, recently I was able to do a backstage tour of Soarin'. Fascinating, like truly fascinating. The screen has holes in it and you would never know. We actually were able to watch the Soarin' video from the other side of the screen and like look at what the whole like operation is doing the whole time. It was wild. And then same thing, we did a backstage tour of Smuggler's Run and got to see the little pods you're in rotate on their track, and you just stand there like, how is this happening? I wish everyone can do it. And cheap plug moment, I did talk about both of these experiences in depth on our Patch Hat, which is our bonus episode on our Patreon, everybody. But anyway, I wish everyone could do it, because it's truly, like, it's a wonder. And I mean, obviously, right, they know what they're doing. But seeing stuff from that side just makes me even more impressed with what's going on the side that most people see, which is just the side they want you to see. It's fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have a good sense of what you like to do as a local at Disney. And while we have you, and by we, I mean it's just me. I'm so used to having Beth that I say phrases like we. While I have you here, if you could think of anything that comes to mind outside of Disney, because I also get that question too, of, you know, we're here in town and we want to take a break for a moment, and people ask me, like, what's a good restaurant outside Disney that we recommend, or any type of, like, function, some type of thing to do. What comes to mind as a general Orlando local for you if you were to recommend a place to somebody?
I would focus on an area of town. So okay. There's Winter Park, and within Winter Park there is a street called Park Avenue. And Park Avenue has a lot of, it's got a lot of nice storefronts, and I wouldn't say it's like an old-timey kind of feel to it. I guess that's kind of, that's accurate. Sort of like an old-school, downtown-y, Main Street kind of layout to it. And there's a lot of good restaurants down there that are, you could just sort of walk along and pick something at random. You know, whether you like Greek food, or you like pizza, or you just like, if you like sushi, or if you like, you know, whatever your craving is, you could just walk up and down that street. You can grab a burger or something like that. So no specific restaurant in that area. There's closer to where, to the downtown area, there's Mills and 50, which is Mills Avenue and Interstate 50, Colonial Drive. That corner is also kind of bustling right now.
Okay.
In terms of local restaurants and things. So there's a lot of really, really good food. There's a place called Hawkers, which I like a lot, which is sort of it's Asian-inspired small plates, so almost Asian tapas. That is really, really super good, and I love that. They're over in the Baldwin Park area, which is... it's hard to explain where that is. It's sort of in between UCF and downtown.
Okay.
Over there's a restaurant called Sato Sushi, which is, if you know anyone is a sushi fan or likes ramen or you know, fried rice, anything. I guess I love Asian food because it seems to be a running theme. But that's a definite favorite of mine. Too, and there's a place that recently opened up. It's a bowling alley. It's called Primrose Lanes, and that's over just outside of downtown. But it's a bowling alley that has like a gourmet chef who created the menu there, and they've got it's not called the $15 hot dog, but it's like affectionately known as the $15 hot dog. So it's a foot long homemade hot dog. So they make it themselves. There's no fillers. It's all like, you know, pure meat without any, you know, Oscar Mayer, whatever things they put into your standard grocery store hot dog. But it's on a brioche bun, and they top it. You know, there's a few different toppings. Do a chili cheese, but you can also do it with fish roe, like you would get on top of a sushi roll or something like that.
Okay.
And they've got a lot of other... the menu is just great. And they've got a nice bar area if that's your thing. They've also got bowling. So it's a good family place that's really interesting. It's sort of just a different spin on, you know, what you can expect from Orlando as a tourist.
Well, I feel like time is flying by here, sir. So what can we expect coming up on the Instagram accounts? Because there are a few, but what are there any teases you can offer for where we might see a hot dog next?
Yeah, of course. So we're getting into the holidays soon, and which is kind of my busy time.
Okay.
So I try to, you know, I think you and I have talked about it before. However magical Disney is on a regular day, it is 10 times more magical during the holidays.
Yep.
Whether it's Halloween or, you know, the Christmas and Thanksgiving stretch there. It's just fabulous. It's Disney at its absolute best. And so I'm going to be spending the next 2 months-ish taking as many photos of decorations with strategically placed hot dogs on them and trying not to get in trouble. And last year, so if you go through my account, last year my big end of my holiday content is I managed to sneak a Christmas tree into the park and onto the people mover.
Oh, okay.
And it's just it's maybe a foot and a half to, you know, 2 foot tall Christmas tree, but that was my major accomplishment, and I had lights on it, and I took a photo of that on the people mover with a hot dog. This year I have the I unfortunately have to try and top that, and I'm still trying to think of what that is. And stay tuned for the big reveal on how I top bringing a live Christmas tree into the park.
I guess if anyone has any ideas as to how James could possibly top a mini Christmas tree, people will feel free to let him know.
I will give you a sneak preview on Halloween. So I messaged you this, but so I brought a pumpkin into the park again this year. But not only did I bring a pumpkin into the park, I carved the pumpkin inside the park.
Okay.
only using those plastic Disney knives.
Oh my goodness.
And it took about 90 minutes, and you can see the results on my October 31st post.
Nice. Okay. We'll have to keep our eyes peeled for that. Well, listen, thanks for joining me yet again and letting us into the world of Hot Dogs at Disney and the other Hot Dogs accounts. I greatly appreciate your Disney local must-do tips. Hopefully someone out here is inspired and might be trying something new based on what we chatted about. That is the goal after all. So if you're not already following James, everybody, he is at Hot Dogs at Disney. That's the main account, and we'll link that in our episode description. So thanks for chatting a little bit with us today.
Awesome. Thank you, Greg. I really appreciate it. It was great catching up. And thank you for supporting the account all these years.
Of course.
Before Greg sends us off with a quote today, if you like what you heard today, feel free to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also leave us a review on iTunes so others can locate us easier on their platform of choice in the world of Disney pods. If you want to follow along with us on Instagram, we are at That Park Life Podcast. You can leave us a question there in our Instagram highlight. It's Ask Beth and Greg. You can see it there, like on our account. And if you want to follow our personal accounts, I am at The Real Beth McDonald.
And I am at The Disney Greg.
Yes, and as always, if you want to follow along on our other projects that we have going on, Greg is at the Quick Escape Pod, where he has another pod that he does because he's a cheater. No, I'm just kidding. it is a non-Disney pod, and it is incredible, so I highly recommend you go check it out. And I am at Simplistic Thrills. We got some other Disney things and Universal things going on over there with merch. And if you want to submit a request... Semest. I mean, I don't mind meshing those words together. Submit a request. You can semest it. Anyways, if you want to submit a request for an episode, share a magical cast member moment, or simply share some Disney magic with loved ones, you can head over to thatparklifepodcast.com. You can submit a magic gram there. That's free for everyone. You can also do episode searches there. We have a lot of stuff going on the podcast, so check it out there. And if you want to join our lovely gang of our lovely Disney nerds that we absolutely adore, you can head over to patreon.com/thatparklifepodcast to get our bonus episodes. We dive deeper into things. We have different levels there with different offerings. So head over there and check it out. We do have a Discord channel that we love hanging out with people on. And then don't forget our amazing shopping list link as well. The link's in the description for that. If you want to head over, we do get a little kickback on that, but it's just items that we recommend you check out and that you have before going to the Disney parks. Other announcement is for our Patreon, right? To remember we have our November 4th, our hangouts coming up.
Hangout.
That's like this weekend, right?
Yeah, this Saturday. Yeah. So long as you're feeling okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get it together, but we're gonna make it happen, hopefully. So all right, Greg, take it away.
Sure. I've got a quote from everyone's favorite yellow bear, Winnie the Pooh. Hopefully you all said Winnie the Pooh. I don't know of another yellow bear.
Yeah, is there another yellow bear? I was thinking of Five Nights at Freddy's just came out, and so they kind of have like a yellow, it's a duck though. I think it's a duck. Anyways.
Duck,
no, it's
bear.
A bear. They have a bear. Whatever. They have a bear. They also have a duck, but they have a bear. Anyway.
Winnie the Pooh, this is maybe the most relatable quote I've seen in a while, and I can't do a Winnie the Pooh voice. You're getting just a regular monotone Greg. Winnie the Pooh once said, quote, "Hello out there. Oh, I hope nobody answers." Well, thanks for hanging out, everyone. We'll see y'all next week.
See you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.